This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Events, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here is your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode numero seis, Place to Be Nation's Main Event, WrestleMania Preview Special. I am Scott Criscolo, and I've been looking forward to this episode for weeks, and I know the panel is as well. We are just, 4 days away from the 30th anniversary of the Showcase of the Immortals, that being WrestleMania 30, this Sunday from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. We have three quarters of the core four tonight. We do not have Ben Steve himself, Ben Morris. He's going to New Orleans. It's not like one of our guys who can drive there from his house and take, 10 minutes. So he will be, we'll have him on our next show when he comes back and give us his opinions of his experience and what have you. So Ben, safe travels and enjoy the show. Let's go around the horn and see who's going to join us tonight. We'll begin with the Bengal of the Bayou, who's actually having the card in his backyard. And the main event is not the triple threat. It is between Buzz Williams and the president of Marquette University in a cage. And that is Mr. Andrew Reich.
How you guys doing? Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Whatever that stupid thing means. Ever. I liked I'm coming home. That was better last year.
You really don't know what it means?
It must have something to do with a party, right?
It's French for let the good times roll. It's a Mardi Gras saying.
Well, I wonder if they'll play the. I wonder if the Cars will come back to sing the play this.
Well, they did the. They did that little parade thing that shot with the commercial that just aired on Raw, and I actually knew a lot of people who were extras on that French Quarter shoot. So.
Oh wow, that's cool. All right, Reich, pleasure as always. Mm-hmm. We'll go up north to our good friend, who is half thrilled. Even though he's not a Badger fan, that his team is in the that they're in the Final Four, maybe because the Fix aren't singing the national anthem this weekend. Mr. Steve Willie,
my son, when he listens to this podcast, is going to be all on you for saying CAs for the number six.
Is that right?
But we'll let that go. I mean, we're multicultural here. We got French, we got Spanish.
There you go.
And then we got whatever I speak.
Cinco. C-A-C-A. I got it right. Okay, good. Now you made me double. Now you're making me think, Willie. My God.
Face.
Fuck. I like. I don't know. It's like Santino. You know, Andre the French Giant. You know, Rodney the Piper. You know, people laugh when he blew them. All right. Anyway, Willie, pleasure as always to have you on.
Thank you.
Also joining us, a guy who I've been having some fun jibes with over the last couple weeks, as his state imploded this weekend in the regionals. Neither the Wolverines or the Sparties made it to Dallas. He is, of course, very excited, though, that his favorite guy, wrestler ever, is having his own battle royal, his own invitational named after him. I'm sure he has the papier-mâché trophy all ready to go. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Hey, you know what? The college basketball teams didn't do so great this week, but at least the Detroit Pistons beat the Sixers, and guaranteed they had the longest losing streak ever. Oh.
No.
Oh, wait.
No.
Then let me just reintroduce myself like Reich. Mocha Chocolata Yaya, Real Lady Marmalade.
Hakuna Matata.
Where's Lil' Kim?
All right. Now, as I mentioned, our good friend Ben Steve himself, Ben Morris, not with us tonight. He is on his way to Reich's... look out the window. Is he walking the dog yet, Reich?
He's putting the lotion in the basket as we speak.
Ben Morris, our good friend, purveyor of Marvel.com and of course, contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com, on his way to New Orleans. So we needed to fill a seat. It is not my PIC, Mr. Azzaro. Of course, he is working on the Kevin Kelly show tonight. They're having their own talk about WrestleMania weekend tonight. Of course, the big Ring of Honor show Friday night. But our pinch hitter tonight, for those that have been listening to the Place to Be podcast since its inception back in February of 2011, I mentioned this guy
that he was going to join us. Well, through the travails of contract negotiations and working with other shows, we never were able to connect. But after 302 episodes of the Place to Be podcast, he's not going to be on that show. Ladies and gentlemen, for those that have been listening from the beginning, I bring you here on episode 6 of PTBN's main event, the Johnny Reckless.
What's going on, man?
Can you believe that? I've never given anybody that good. Even Willie, I've never given a great introduction like that, too.
That's a big entrance to live up to.
That is. Don't be like Kizarni now and blow it in the first match, okay? John, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on, finally. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Guys, it is the weekend we look forward to every year. And let's be honest, if you're a diehard wrestling fan, nobody cares about the card per se. The weekend gets you pumped up, period. It's WrestleMania. It's the rite of spring with the tournament and baseball, the hockey and NBA playoffs. WrestleMania belongs there. And tonight we're going to go over as much as we can. We're going to talk about the card. We're going to really delve into the builds. I really want to get into the builds. Have they done it right? We got a lot of we got 7 matches, I think. Let me have to double check. We're going to talk about the builds to all the matches. We're going to talk about Daniel Bryan, the path that he's taken. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame class, which is actually kind of an unusual one. Not a bad class, but kind of an unusual class. A very eclectic mix of inductees for 2014. And then we'll talk a little bit about, obviously, how the network is involved, because that's obviously a big piece of this year. All right. WrestleMania.
I believe there's 8 matches, by the way.
Is it 8 matches? Okay.
Yeah.
I always feel confused. I feel like they talk about so many, and then
there's... I got my picks from Chad Campbell today. So
yes.
One of them is on the pre-show, I believe.
Yeah, but that counts.
That counts.
Yeah, that will count because we'll talk about that with the network.
Yeah. Later. Okay. So there's a total of 8 matches. 1 on the pre-show, by the way, which is 2 hours. The pre-show technically starts at 5.
Wow.
On the network, and then all the Yahoo and YouTube and all that crap, and then those go away at 6, and then there's just a solid 1 hour from 6 to 7 on the network before we get to the start of the show at 7 o'clock.
That's a little much.
You think so, yeah. John? I agree. I mean, have they announced who's going to be at the on the table? Who's going to be on the table?
Ben Morse, I think.
That's what I figured that, and you, Reach. And I believe Kevin Kelly. That's a pretty eclectic group right there. I like that.
Well, and we can't forget about the red carpet show on E! Beforehand with the pedicam for Kane.
Yeah. I know, a 1 hour red carpet before the Hall of Fame on Saturday night, 8 to 9, and then Hall of Fame at 9 o'clock, which we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the network. That's a big deal because for the first time, unless you've been to one, this will be the first time that anyone's going to get to see the Hall of Fame live in its entirety. We're not going to have that chopped up USA shit. Oh, that always used to piss me off. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Reach, I'll start with you. How annoying was that to have like that chopped up Hall of Fame on USA? Remember the 1 year that Brett was on and it went too long and they chopped it in half, and then the Austin one was chopped up? That always used to annoy the hell out of me. I don't know why USA even bothered.
I was there for the Austin one, and I'm going to tell you, that one was not chopped up. That one was aired live. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that they had the lesser people have their inductions before the start time on the USA Network, and then they aired, I think, Steamboat, one of the others, and Austin live on the Hall of Fame. So instead of everybody else, like in Detroit and Orlando, mm-hmm. and even Glendale and Miami and New York, they all got Hall of Fame shows that were like 4 hours long, and they could just shoot the shit, and everybody would laugh at the ad-libs and bad. That did not happen to Hall of Fame. The moment somebody like Kevin Von Erich or somebody would come up, you would see a clock come up and it would say 10 minutes or like 15 minutes. It was like, okay, we need you to finish up your speech and get off the stage that before the special. So I absolutely hated it. I hated when they would do the USA Network and they would air that abridged version of the Hall of Fame. It just, all it made me was want to actually watch the whole Hall of Fame on the right. DVD. Mm-hmm. So to have the opportunity to just watch it all, unabridged and unedited, and watch the Warrior go on some kind of stupid tangent.
That's going to be awesome.
I guarantee he's going to do. It's going to be so much fun because you know, the whole Hall of Fame is just full of, it's the island of misfit toys. It's all
it really
the
is. It is an island. We'll talk about the class in a minute.
Yeah.
Then what was it? The last couple of years, they didn't do it on Saturday night. They did it Monday. Well, when Raw was
Monday
like
after
two
Raw.
Hours, it was either Monday before at 8 or Monday after at 11:15 or whatever the hell it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, of course, on the full network. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame class before we get to the card. Johnny, what are your thoughts of this class? I mean, it's got to be one of the weirdest classes, most eclectic in terms of the people in it.
Well, you know, personally, from a personal level, I love this class. But it is it's definitely the island of misfit toys, like what was said. I mean, these guys they're the screw-ups in a way. You know, except for Lita. You know, I mean, but God bless them all. They're definitely, you know, at least Jake and Scott, or should we say Razor, have, you know, turned their lives around. But other than that, I mean, these were the guys you never thought you didn't even know if they'd be alive.
Right. Yeah, I know. Really. That's why I think this is almost like the let's get it quick before they're all dead class.
Yeah, Lita's not a screw up. She just screws.
She just. and here's another. All right. Good question, Reesh. I'm gonna ask you the question though, Willie. Are we gonna get a trashy? Because let me tell you something. I was at the Hall of Fame last year at the Garden. I was very emotional. I mean, I've been a fan a long time. Seeing Bruno was incredible, and I told everybody in our section that if there's a Billy Joel and Elton John banner hanging at the Garden, there should be a banner that says Bruno Sammartino 100 and whatever the hell it is, 178 sellouts or whatever. There should be. The guy's an institution in that building. But the crowd was less than classy. They got a little – the beginning of the show was fine. And then when we got to Maria Menounos, who did the induction for Bob Backlund, the crowd got a little antsy and started to heckle, and it was not – and then they started booing. They started booing Trump. I don't know why that came from. Are we a little nervous, guys, that live on the network Saturday night when Lita comes out, we're gonna get the not the you fucked Lita, but who fucked Lita? Are we getting a little nervous about this chant coming Saturday in New Orleans? What do you think, Willie?
We're gonna get the CM Punk chants for sure.
Oh yeah,
that's the only thing I don't like about these broadcasts are. Mm-hmm. The crowd, you have so many people. It's too big almost. And I know they're trying to do it to raise money and raise revenue. But anytime you get a bunch of people sitting around listening to people talk for 4 hours and you get a little, you know, a few beers in them, you know, people are going to try to get themselves over. And they were doing that on, you know, even on when the stuff wasn't broadcast, they were doing that on some of the early ones. And I remember you guys talking about this last year, too, that I hated when they were booing Maria Menounos. Like, if there's one celebrity who you should be like paying attention to and respecting, you know, as being an actual wrestling fan, mm-hmm. as someone who actually treats it, you know, she's legitimately a Bob Backlund fan. Right. Like what like 30-year-old woman enjoys Bob Backlund? like we should be worshiping her. And like, yeah, it just kind of stuff drives me nuts. Like, I don't mind it during a wrestling event per se, like, you know, like at the Royal Rumble, but this just seems like you need to have a little bit more respect and I'm sure it will happen. I will try my best to ignore it.
Mm. Now, JD, the year it was in your backyard in 2007, mm-hmm. Did you go to the Hall of Fame? You went to the show.
Yeah, no, I did not go to the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I remember that class. Now, that class was cool. That was what? Perfect, Dusty. Who else? Sherry and Fertel.
JR. I think JR was that year.
JR, King, yeah. Sherry. That was a decent.
No, Sherry was 22.
The Sheik, because Sheik's out of Detroit.
The Sheik, that's right. That oh, that's right. Sherry was in Chicago. Good call, Reesh.
Yeah, because she died later that summer. And I remember she was inducted the year before. Yeah.
That was a night. That was a good crowd. The crowd in Detroit was very respectful. It was a great crowd.
As always,
WrestleMania 23. Great crowd.
When I think respectful, I think Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved when Dusty put out the handkerchief and it was polka dots. That was really.
Yes, cool. That was very cool. That was very cool.
Threw the octopus on the stage. Oh, wait, that's hockey. Sorry.
And then Ben Wallace charged into the crowd and started punching people and stuff.
Yes, and then Sapphire ate it. Oh, wait, what? Oh, never mind. Do you think that if they have another bad experience with the crowd Saturday, that they'll decide to just privatize it like they did in the 90s and just have it in like a ballroom or something? What do you think, John?
Honestly, probably not, because it's a moneymaker. But what I would honestly do is price it out so you the tickets are at a level where you're only going to get people who really want to be there for a certain reason. If you have to price the tickets higher than Mania tickets, then do it. Because in a way, this event should be bigger than Mania at times, if that makes sense.
Right, right. No, I agree. I think I got to be – I'll tell you, though, my Hall of Fame ticket last year cost more than my Mania ticket. So obviously it's because you're talking about a small place, you know, a 20,000-seat arena, beside, and then you have a, you know, 85,000-seat stadium. But yeah, I agree with you on that. I think it needs to be, you don't want to make it exorbitant, but at the same time, you want to make sure like it's not like an indie show price of, you know, $20 or whatever, but we'll see. I have confidence that you boys down on the Bayou, Reesh, will be very respectful. Are you going Saturday night?
No, I'll be watching, Kentucky and Wisconsin and, UConn and Florida on my little television set. And I'll just be watching the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I watch the Hall of Fame on my app there and enjoying it. I'll actually get to finally watch a Hall of Fame that's actually longer than an hour and a half, which is better than the one that I actually paid money to go see, which is why I'm never going to go to the Hall of Fame again.
Mm. I actually, the only, believe it or not, ironically, JD, the one WrestleMania set I have that I don't have the Hall of Fame is 23. I got it for really? Christmas a while back, and I only got the two disc. So I don't have that Hall of Fame on DVD, but they may start putting those on the network soon, like just the Hall of Fame ceremonies. They may do that too. There's a lot of stuff they have to still put in the network, but we'll talk about that. That's another discussion for another day. So there's your Hall of Fame class. Anybody surprise you, Willie? Anybody surprise you in this class that you're like, wow, I didn't think they'd pick him
or her? A little bit of Carlos Colon, but I understand why.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're doing it probably to get more of the video library and such. It's just not someone who they've really ever talked about.
No.
You know, except for the young upcoming.
He was a youngster. Yeah, he was a youngster at the '93 Rumble. That was terrible. Oh, you know what it is? It's also they can get those awesome 1981 blood matches with Abdullah where we see forks and eyes. And come on, John, that's right up your alley. You want to see the Abdullah Carlos Colon wars?
Of course.
Yeah. So that's what it is. You're absolutely right, Willie. It's nothing more than
that. Yeah, I think this is – I agree with Johnny Reckless. I think this is one of the more fun classes. I wasn't sure if I got dropped for a second before, but I'm really looking forward to the Hall of Fame this year. I'm going to be watching the entire thing with a group of friends and maybe more excited about that than I am WrestleMania.
I thought that last year myself about that because the class is so special. Do you think it – if you're – Vince, or if you're Pat, or whoever the hell's the actual producers, do you even bother telling the Ultimate Warrior, please be careful? Or do you just let him go? Because if you tell – I almost feel like he's one of those guys where if you tell him be careful, he'll be like, well, Fangul. But if you just let him go out there, I think he'll be all right. What do you think, JD, about him heading this class? I mean, I don't think anyone ever – This might be the biggest shock.
Yeah, well, like that's a question you asked Steve. Is there anything surprising? And that's the most surprising one to me is that this actually happened. The Warrior being in there, I didn't think it would ever. I thought you'd see maybe Macho Man get in before the Warrior, but I probably have more interest in hearing the Ultimate Warrior's Hall of Fame speech than anyone who's been inducted in the past 10 years. Honestly,
yeah,
I would love to hear what he says.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. So that's Saturday night. On the WWE Network, the red carpet, whatever. Is
Jake Roberts' daughter going to be inducting him into the Hall of Fame? is she going to read a poem that we know very, very well?
Yeah. Fuck you, Warrior.
Has it been announced who's inducting Razor? Is it going to be Sean or Diesel? Or
I don't think it's been announced.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
I know DDP is doing Jake, right?
Yes,
correct. DDP's doing Jake.
And Linda McMahon is doing Warrior. Yeah,
Linda's doing Warrior. DDP's doing Jake.
Then a lot of people were wondering if Undertaker was going to do Paul Bearer because apparently he's still kind of old school in terms of
his character. I know.
So, I mean, I guess you could have Foley do it.
Or Kane.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I would do with that? I'd have Kane do it and just have Taker come out there with him, but he doesn't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Have him come out in his gear.
Yeah. But Vince is pretty convicted in that he is not going to put The Undertaker out in public for the Hall of Fame.
He never put himself out. The only time he ever puts himself out, well, last year.
For Austin, when he inducted Austin.
He inducted him, but he did come out last year at the end of Bruno's. He did come out last year at the end of Bruno's. So, let me think. So, Lita. Who's inducting Lita?
Trish Stratus. Trish,
right? Okay. Who's inducting Carlos Colon? Carlito?
Invader number 3.
The guy who killed Bruiser Brody. Now, I think he's dead too. Actually. Anyway, there's your Hall of Fame class for 2014. Good class, solid class. I'm curious.
Wait, who's inducting T? Do we know?
I think it's Piper.
I think it's Piper too.
That could be a lot.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't think it's Piper or Hogan.
Then I hope Piper knocks him on his bony ass.
Yeah. No, I think what happens then. Go ahead, Steve.
Hogan had an interview today with some national outlet. Joking that he and Piper were going to fight about it. I mean, he really put over Mr. T as someone that, without him, WrestleMania would not have been a success, without him bringing in some of the more mainstream eyes into it. But that was pretty classy of Hogan, who's not usually one to put anyone else over besides himself.
That is true.
And Scott, also to put my two cents in with the Warrior, is that I think the only thing Vince can really tell him, because Vince is the only one he'll listen to, is just... because there's obviously some bad blood between him and Hogan still, is just don't say anything bad about Hogan. I think that's the one
Warrior?
Thing.
Warrior? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the one thing I think he'll be a little bit reserved with saying.
Triple H has some
Hulk
bad.
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. He's not going to say
Hogan.
He's not put say your plane in a nosedive.
He's not going to say anything about Hulk Hogan. He's going to say something bad about
Hulk Hogan.
H-O-K-O-G-A-N. Hulk Hogan. So there we go. There's your Hall of Fame class, and enjoy it Saturday night on the network beginning at 8 o'clock, and then the ceremony itself starts at 9. All right. Before we get to the card, what do you think about the network in terms of enhancing the build to the show? Not the storyline build, just the build to the event. Has the network itself made any bigger impact than – in the past when we didn't have it? Johnny, I'll start with you. Has the network made the build for the show better for you or not, or just the same as normal?
So, you're not talking about the actual build up to what was
not storylines, not storylines, no. The event.
Honestly, they haven't done much other than generate more interest in the product overall. Mm-hmm. Granted, they used main event as kind of a vehicle to move some things along, but that for storyline purposes. But overall, I don't think they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know they're doing a live show. They're doing a live 2-hour show. I think it's 6 to 8 today.
Yeah, it's at the Access Convention
Center. Yeah. I think they did one. I think it's 6 to 8 today, tomorrow, and Friday.
Well, this week kind of changes things, but right. Up to this week, no, I don't think they really used it too much to build it.
Okay, yeah, I watched the press conference on Tuesday, but I've watched it before. We've all had it on you could just go to WWE.com and they do like the little stream, but I watched it live. Yeah. Did anybody else watch the press conference?
I did. It was awkward.
It is awkward because
they do the photo ops at the end and you start to finally realize, man, this is really phony.
It's like half kayfabe. It's like K.
Yeah, and as not a 30 fake, as a 31 year old man, it makes me sad to realize that wrestling is not real. But you know, I realize when Daniel Bryan and him are laughing constantly at each other, I realize, wait a minute, they're actually friends. But that's what the press conference is. It's just kind of you're appealing to New York media types that don't cheer and boo anything, and you know, you kind of have to keep your tie straight and just kind of deliver your presentation to try to sell a product, and you go home and that's it. But
yeah,
it was interesting. It was different.
Right.
The clip I saw was a little bit of Daniel Bryan, and at the end he tried to get a yes chant going, but it's to the press and it was just total silence, and he does about 5 yeses and then just drops his arms and says, "Hey, see you at WrestleMania," just turns around and walks off the stage. It was so awkward.
Yeah. And there's always that one wild card, and we all know who that one was if you saw the press conference. That was Dave Bautista.
It's funny. He was actually very funny because he talks about the Twitter handle for the skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And he actually says, "Ah, see, it's the yes movement's already died because none of you cared." So he actually
he did the funny old stand-up act where one person talks to the other. where he's like pretending to be a fan that hates him, and he's like, yeah, it was funny. And he did bury a writer behind the curtain saying that he should be fired immediately if Stephanie didn't write it, which got a lot of groans from the crowd. And then when he says that I'm trying to win the title because I had time between movies, that did not get a lot of cheers going on in the with the boo birds, because nobody likes the fact that people rub it in. Oh well, I make movies now and I can win the title because I'm a big star again.
Now, speaking of Stephanie, and we're going to talk much more about her later when we get to the card itself. I almost believe she is really getting more like her dad all the time. You almost think like everything she says is a lie, even in press conferences. I just don't believe anything she ever says.
I'm almost convinced she wasn't at WrestleMania 1 now.
Yeah, and Andre hated her guts.
Yeah,
he always said Andre was my friend.
I don't like that Stephanie bitch.
Yeah, I'm surprised she hasn't started saying
Andre or Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, but anyway, the press conference was Tuesday. I agree with you, John, though. I think that they haven't – I mean, they've added shows and things like that, but the stream has been obviously their biggest tool, and they're going to utilize it at least over the next few days, obviously. We'll see if they do it during – I'm sure they're probably going to do it like the week leading into SummerSlam. That's what they really – that's really the big case. WrestleMania is WrestleMania. We always know the build's going to be huge. Event build. I want to specify that. Not the storyline build. The event build. They're definitely going to utilize this more for the big four, though. Like, I think you'll see a lot of these live special shows the week leading into SummerSlam. I think they'd like to try. I think they'll definitely do it for the Rumble. And then I think they'd like to try and do it for Survivor Series if they even care that that's still one of the big four anymore. So we'll see what happens. But all right. Sunday. Let's dive in. We have 8 matches. I can't see them adding anymore. 8 matches in 4 hours?
And one's on the pre-show, which means it's not in the allotted 4 hours.
7 matches in like 3 hours and 45 minutes.
And one's a Divas match.
So, which involves a lot of people.
Now,
but still 4 minutes long, guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be still booked like a Raw Divas match.
And I haven't heard any musical acts, so...
I haven't either. And
there was one rumor a month ago that the guy who performs the music for Bray Wyatt will perform live.
Oh, I forgot what that guy's name is.
That one I did hear. I think it's Brian Crozer, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a great song. It was an original song.
Before. It was on... when he first debuted last summer, it was on Spotify. And then, like, right after SummerSlam, it was gone.
Yeah. And I will say this. I was there in Houston, Texas. If I get another Kid Rock performance twice in two WWE shows, I'm going to try to jump off the balcony.
I got to tell you, Biggie was awesome last year. Not Biggie. I wish Biggie was there. Puffy was awesome last year. He really was. He did a nice job.
How about the crack addict that sang John Cena to the ring?
At Machine Gun Kelly? Oh, God, I hate that guy.
Are we talking about Harry Machine Gun Kelly, the fifth all-time leading scorer in college basketball
history? No,
I don't think we are.
I almost said Timberlake, but I meant Justin's pal there, Federline. Another white trashy looking guy. He loves Federline. When do we get to the 2010 vaults? Was that 2008 into 9 or 9 into 10? I don't remember. Remember New Year's, the whole feud?
Britney.
Here we Britney's fought.
Which, that yeah. was 2006 into 2007.
That's 6 into 7.
Yeah, because I remember at Night of Champions 2006, he interfered in the match.
That's right. All right. Wait till we get to those vaults. He'll be gushing over his boy Federline. All right.
Okay, 7 matches in 4 hours.
Yeah, 7 matches in 3 hours and 50 minutes.
It's going to be a lot of skits.
That's going to be a shitload. I like those. I look forward to those. I felt last year, well, I mean, obviously being there I don't remember there being a lot, but I don't remember there being a lot the year before in Miami either.
Yeah, but you just hit it on the head, WrestleMania 28, because that's a great example. Never underestimate the pomp and circumstance of WWE, because they took an entire hour and just shit away all the other undercard matches, and everything for the next 3 hours was basically allotted to 4 matches. The top 3 matches, which were Punk, Jericho, Hell in a Cell, Roxina and that Team Johnny, Team Teddy thing that only lasted 15 minutes. They literally had an entire musical performance introducing Rock and Cena that lasted, I want to say, at least 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So you don't underestimate pomp and circumstance. They might be able to stretch this out pretty far.
I agree with you about that. I agree.
Especially with entrances, too. You get, like, Undertaker's entrance, and probably even Brock Lesnar's will be pretty – and Bray Wyatt, John Cena. Those will be really long entrances.
Oh, they'll be pumped up. And
yeah, and don't misinterpret me. That doesn't mean necessarily it's a bad thing. You know, that's one of the great parts of the grandeur of WrestleMania, you know, to see the great entrances, to see the crowd kind of take in all the pre and post match stuff that's going on. So it's good, but you know, sometimes it can be a little overbearing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. So let's dive in. We'll go through, you know, half the card and then we'll take a break and we'll do the other half. All right. We'll start with the pre-show match, a fatal four-way tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Oh, before we do that, is there an announcement of who's singing the national anthem or America the Beautiful? Is it Lillian?
I don't know.
Johnny, did you hear anything about that?
No.
No?
No, I have not.
So I'm just going to say right now that it's Brooke Hogan breaking.
Well, you know what's sad, JD? You
might
say
be
that.
Right.
I would not surprise me.
It's JoJo Offerman.
JoJo Offerman.
I think it's going to be the Warrior.
America! I think it's VKM. Oh, I think he's singing it. It's VKM. He's singing it. Okay. All right. So for the WWE Tag Team Championships, your champions, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, taking on hashtag Midget Mantar, otherwise known as Los Matadores. Real Americans, our awesome team of, well, one half of an awesome team, Cesaro and Jack Swagger, and Rybacksel. Willie, start with you. Your thoughts on this combination of teams? What have you thought about the Usos as champions going in? Your general thoughts on the match overall. Don't pick a winner yet, but just your general thoughts on how the match has been set up.
In terms of the Usos as champions, I'm a big fan of them. When I took over for you recapping the other main event, the lesser of the main events, the televised show,
mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen much of the Usos besides when they first started, and I was actually really impressed by their development as a tag team and how over they've been with, you know, with their entrance in that. And I was kind of surprised when it took them so long to win the titles with the reemergence of the New Age Outlaws. Mm-hmm. But I like their act. I don't think it's stale at all. I think it's still over with everyone in the crowd. And, you know, outside of the Real Americans, I don't know. And the Rhodes Brothers, who I'm surprised are not in this match. I think that's my one kind of disappointment, that they're not in here. If they could make it somehow a five-way match or get rid of hashtag Midget Mantar.
Why in God's name are they in this match, JD? Why would they stick them? Why would they even bother? They're not even on every week. Why do you think they're in this match?
Because even though they're not important, they're actually pretty decent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe just to add a little bit more star power to the Battle Royal to put Goldust and Cody in there is the only thing I could think of, because I don't really know. They were just forgotten for months. I mean, not that they're bad or anything. They're just
right.
Yeah,
they're just there.
Yeah.
Unless El Torito's there to take an Antonio Cesaro 100-plus revolution swing to beat the Grizzly.
Well, God, imagine they just chuck him and he hits the roof.
I think what we're going to get is he's going to giant swing one of them with Torito at the same time.
That would be great.
That's what I think.
I thought the exact same thing. Someone was going to hang on to El Torito and they're going to double swing him.
Oh, yeah. Like Bundy crushing Little Beaver.
Yes.
God, I love the destruction of midgets. Okay. John, you and I have been debating for a couple years now. You were not, and you can't deny it, you were not a big Usos fan in the beginning.
Correct.
You and I talked about them a lot. Are you impressed now?
Yeah, they've definitely grown on me. They've improved greatly as a team, and I actually find them exciting to watch now. I mean, their offense and their high flying. They've grown. They've definitely grown into a pretty good act.
Rish, are you in a? Let me ask this. I know there's probably a majority of fans who are pissed that Cesaro, who everybody loves, he's kind of on that, he's like a few notches below Daniel Bryan as this kind of groundswell of support, is in this match. Do you think he should be in something more high profile?
You know, when it got announced that they were going to do the tag match, you would assume at first that because the tag titles had gained a little bit more importance when the Shield and Cody and Goldust had held the belt, that it was going to be on the main card for WrestleMania. So when Cesaro and Swagger were put in the match originally, it felt like, well, that's a pretty neat little position for them to be in. I thought it was leading into Cesaro and Swagger feuding because they were teasing a breakup, just like with the Shield, and then they reined it back and said, no, let's keep them as a team so that we can get everybody on the WrestleMania card. I think that people are going to definitely react to Cesaro in a really big way in the Superdome, regardless of whether or not it is the main event or the one on the WrestleMania card or not, because the network is going to make it to a point where it feels like it's just a prologue to the show itself.
Right.
It doesn't feel like a dark match, which gives it a lot less significance. So I think there might be a little bit more jazz. They might be a little more jazzed up to watch Cesaro, but it's a little bit disappointing for him to not be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, because if he was in there, I would have at least had him as a dark horse to win it because right. of how much, like you said, how much groundswell of support he has. You know, Ryback's will make sense because they were Paul Heyman guys, and they tried to give him a push in the spring and the fall, and it failed. So it's okay for them to get a spot. Los Matadores doesn't make sense. I don't know why they got the push. They probably could have been better off just being in a backstage skit with El Torito, but they gave him a chance, and that's just how it is. But Cesaro being in the pre-opener, I guess you could say, is... it's a little disappointing because you thought Cesaro was ready, but remember, Daniel Bryan was on a dark match, squashed in the first match, and in a 10-minute tag match before he became in the main event. So Cesaro can take that meteoric rise. This isn't really a kill or be killed situation.
I agree. I think his build will begin on Raw. You know, some of these guys, just you gotta wait. I mean, you can't just throw everybody out there so everybody gets their build. You got to wait. And I think Cesaro's build begins Monday night on Raw. I mean, I think we're going to be in line for another great Raw.
And the fans love him.
Yeah, they do.
Absolutely love him. Yeah. You can tell the face turn is coming.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
I think being in this match is better for him than the Battle Royal, because the Battle Royal, you're going to be it's a Battle Royal. It's going to be clunky. It's going to be crowded. I think a tag match allows him more time to shine, even if he did win the Battle Royal. I'd rather see him do his stuff with some guys that can get thrown around and stuff like that by him. So.
Mm. Okay. All right. Willie, who wins?
I'm so bad at predictions with these things. I think that the Usos are going to retain. I can't see Ryback or Matadors winning. And I think there's too much going on with the Real Americans for them to hold on. I could see it happening. My question, kind of building off the Cesaro thing, and this is like kind of one of those outside chance things.
Mm-hmm.
If the Real Americans do not win, they still have three openings in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. We're going to get to those slots in a minute.
We're going to talk about those.
But that's a good call, Willie. It's possible that they stick Cesaro in there. Two of those spots, I'll tell you, I think two of them are definite, and then there's a wild card spot. We'll get to the Battle Royal in a sec. Okay, so you like the Usos to retain.
I like the Usos, yeah.
Okay, all right. Riche?
I like the Usos to retain. I would have said 2 months ago it's impossible that the tag titles would be switched on a pre-show, but they did it about 2 months ago at the Royal Rumble, but I'm not going to go for this one. I'll say the Usos keep the belts.
They've done it plenty of times. They've done it plenty of times on...
And well, the match, and here's the other important part because of WrestleMania and how much importance it is as a show itself. Is the match going to be good? I think the match will be pretty good because you got two good teams and two not-so-great teams, but I think that's going to be enough of an equation to make a good match.
Right. I agree. Big John, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely going with the Usos. I don't see much mobility for any of the other teams. I mean, the Real Americans possibly, but I think they have bigger plans for Cesaro.
They definitely do. Who did I get to? JD.
Me. I got to disagree with Andrew just about one thing. I don't think that the Los Matadores are a bad team. There's not an over team. I think they can fly. I think they can do some pretty cool high spots. So I don't mind seeing them in there in terms of the match quality, but it is a head scratcher as to why they're in there. I'll go with the Usos, and I'll take my prediction a step farther. I think they're going to win, and then I think the Ascension will debut on Monday Night Raw the next night.
Ah, you prick! You stole my thing.
Oh, I got my Raw after prediction coming up.
Yeah, I think the Usos are going to win the titles too. Then I think you're going to see a rematch of these teams. Of all four teams on Monday night,
and they lay out everybody,
and then I think the Ascension comes in and fucking buries all of them, which will
that'd be cool,
absolutely awesome. I am so jonesing for seeing the Ascension come to WWE. I love those guys. Awesome tag team. John, you and I have been talking about them forever. Love the Ascension.
Hell yeah.
And I think they'll just leave the NXT belts there, and then they'll do a tournament or something.
Now, we've seen them on NXT, but you might want to explain why there's the assumption that the Ascension will debut pretty soon on the main roster. Is it because they're in dark matches lately?
I think so, and I think they're just ready. I think they're a ready-made what I'm thinking of. Gimmick.
Yep.
They've already destroyed like every tag team in NXT. I don't think there's any other tag teams in NXT other than them anyway, so I think it's good for them to come up now, forfeit the tag straps in NXT, get these guys up on the roster, beat the shit out of the Usos at Extreme Rules, and hold the belts for like 5 years. We need a new demolition, damn it.
So what do you put them with Heyman?
No, they're too weird for Heyman.
There is a rumor that Paul Heyman has already announced that he will have a new Paul Heyman guy in the near future.
Hmm.
I like the guy Corey Graves. Yeah, he's like an NXT version of Punk.
He's CM Punk light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like
he's Pepsi light.
What do you think of Graves, John?
I like him, but he does have that. I totally agree. He does have that CM Punk light feel to him.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about the NXT guys on the next show, because I think I have a feeling next year. I think they didn't plan as much NXT as they should have. I don't want to say – I would never say this to Kevin Kelly, and I love Kevin, but I have a feeling next year when Mania is out in San Francisco, they're going to try and counter Ring of Honor with a big NXT live show on Friday night that will be live on the network. That's what I think. But anyway, we'll talk about that next year. All right, so we all like the Usos to win the freebie match before 7. Well, they're all free, I guess, if you're watching the show on the network. All right, I think it's all free. Okay, let's dive into the card. Let's get the two multi-person matches out of the way. Then we'll take a break and we'll do the last. Then we'll go to the others. All right. The Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational 14 Diva single fall match for the Divas title. Your champion, of course, AJ. Here's who's in it. AJ Lee. Oksana. Alicia Fox. Faceless Bella number one. Cameron. Emma. Eva Marie. Layla. Naomi, Natalia, the Bella John Cena is going to dump in 6 months. Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, yes. And the one Cena is going to dump, and then the one that Daniel Bryan will marry, and they'll live happily ever after. And Tamina.
And Lana, of course.
And No,
Lana's not in there.
Lana's not going to wrestle for a while. Until you won't see her on regular stuff until Rusev.
Now, she doesn't look like a wrestler.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about Rusev in a couple seconds. So somebody – now, I don't know if this is like a – I'm guessing this is like a triple threat where AJ does not have to be pinned.
Correct.
Yeah, Vicky said on Raw it is one fall to a finish.
Okay. Does that mean that the percentage of her losing the belt goes up?
Oh, so we're doing Steiner math now.
Yeah, Steiner math.
Yeah. The 50% chance with Kurt Angle goes down by the decimal to 5% for AJ Lee to retain.
All right. So, Willie, what are your thoughts on AJ? Is this a glorified Punk punishment, or is this just because she's the heel and it's all the most of baby faces? What do you think?
As much as I like WWE conspiracy theories, I can't imagine she's getting punished for something that CM Punk did. It just doesn't seem right.
Right.
I think it's just because she's the heel and she's pretty much run over everybody. I don't know. I'm not a big. This is just one of those things to get everybody on the show.
Right.
That's really all it is.
Yeah,
I think that's more of what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. John, do you even care? You and I constantly slam Diva Mad. Usually that's when you go out when we're at our buddy's house. It's usually when you and I go out and talk on the porch when you have a smoke.
Yeah,
Diva Mad. Do you even know who any of these divas are?
I do. But here's the thing: in defense of the divas, I think the divas down in NXT are 10 times better than what we see on the roster.
Oh, yes, right. Absolutely.
We saw them on the Arrival show with Paige and Emma.
That was a hell of a match.
God, I love Paige. I cannot. She's another one I can't wait to come up.
But
Emma too.
Yeah. No. Do I care? Sure. I guess I slightly care.
Well, AJ's your girl. She's right up your alley.
Yeah.
Crazy chicks.
But,
What? All right. Does she retain here?
No.
I think one of the Bellas wins because you can get the belt on them without AJ losing.
I have a different pick, but
okay. Look, we'll go around the horn. John, you first. Who do you like?
Well, I'm just playing into because they like to incorporate the Total Divas show into what's going on, and it seems like the one they're really trying to promote now is Summer Rae, and I think it's an easy way to get it on her without actually having a match.
So you like another heel to win?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, she just got new entrance music, so.
Yeah, that's true.
New entrance music means belt.
And she slapped the taste out of Natalya's mouth on Total Divas.
In the fakest reality segment of all time.
Oh, my God. Why did they waste Raw minutes with that crap? And I would say that Ben was sitting, and I would say that if Ben was sitting here, too. And I'll say it to him in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would totally say it as well.
That was garbage.
And the worst part about that is that Summer Rae doesn't come off to me as, like, a really mean, disingenuous person. I think it's just something for the show.
It was a setup on a front porch. It was dumb.
She drove to Natalya's house.
So Natalya
and there just happened to be a camera at Natalya's house.
So stupid.
And in the worst soap opera acting of all time.
Yeah.
All right, I'm really sad I didn't see this.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
You're glad.
So Ben Morris will recap it for you.
Yes, exactly. Willie, who do you like?
I'm torn between AJ and Tamina, and that's because it's cheaper to pick two instead of one, so I can claim that I'm right later on. I think Tamina should be set up to win storyline-wise based on that she's been held back by AJ and they're starting to have miscommunication, so it'd be an easy way to split them up permanently. I can also see AJ squeaking away. But now, I think, Johnny, you got me thinking with the Summer Rae thing, too, because she's not talented enough to take it in a one-on-one match. One person just to watch out for, who I really have become a fan of, not to win, but Naomi. Is really good compared to the other people in the match.
True. Rish.
Well, I was doing the math, and I don't know. Is there 13 other divas?
No, it's 14 total, I think.
It's 14 total, so 13 including AJ. So AJ has a 7.692% chance of winning this match.
All right there, big daddy.
So if AJ wins this match, she will truly be the greatest underdog of the entire WrestleMania, not Daniel Bryan, because she actually overcame the odds instead of Daniel Bryan. Is anyone buying this?
Absolutely not. Just pick a. No, just pick
I stopped listening.
Yeah, just pick somebody. Well, you're too much analysis on Divas match.
It seems to me with the booking that Tamina's going to win.
Okay, so you like Tamina.
I like
who's left? JD.
I'm going with Alicia Fox. I think it's pretty clear.
Oh, totally. She's got a hood on in the picture.
I've never watched Total Divas. To me, it's no different than Chris Lee knows bets. Maybe he'll win. I don't know. I'll say one Bella pins the other.
We know who's going to be watching that later tonight.
Well, we know who Cena's pinning. All right. Okay, so there you go.
The one that Daniel's with pins the other one. I honestly don't know.
August when we find Cena with Flair's daughter Charlotte.
Well, Jordan, one has highlights now. You can't tell the difference?
Nope. I fast forward through every Diva segment that there is. I don't have to review the show on placetobenation.com.
Well, I thank you. I try to half watch them after. I used to get hate posts on Facebook from some guy named Fred. So,
and I have to ask this too: is Vicky Guerrero now a face?
Nah, I don't know what the hell she is.
They know what she is.
Does anybody really know what she is? Does it even matter? Who cares? I think they need to get rid of the Vicky Brad shit. Not our Brad, but the other Brad. Maddox.
Is Brad on anymore? I don't.
Who knows? But why are they at GMs? You've got Kane. You've got Triple H and Steph. Oh, by the way, the GM is Brad. I mean, oh my God, enough's enough now. I'd rather.
My favorite thing about Kane though is that they call him Corporate Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh my God. All right. Before we go to break, our last discussion is the Jordan Duncan match of the night, and that is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and that is awesome. It's nice that. That Andre's getting some props here because he is the man. 27 participants. Alberto Del Rio. This is in alphabetical order, thanks, Wikipedia. Alberto Del Rio, Big E, Big Show, Brad Maddox. He's actually in the
Is he really?
Yes.
Brad Maddox, he announced on the Raw pre-show that he was in the Battle Royal. So the highlight of the Raw pre-show on the WWE Network is that you find out Brad Maddox is in matches.
That's terrible. All right. Brodus Clay, Christian, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Darren Young, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Drew McIntyre, Goldust, The Great Khali, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, Justin Gabriel, Kofi Kingston, Mark Henry, The Miz, Rey Mysterio, who will probably blow both knees out, Sheamus,
that'd be awesome.
Santino.
Pushing injury on people at WrestleMania.
Santino Marella, Sin Cara, Titus O'Neil, and Zack Ryder. All right.
Wow.
Three open spots. There's a very strong rumor one of them is RVD. I think one of the other two is going to be Rusev.
And Curt Hawkins.
And Curt Hawkins. Why are you still talking?
And Juventud Guerrera.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? All right. Okay. So my assumption is I think RVD will be one of them. I think this is perfect for Alexander Rusev. Perfect. And I think him and Sho will have a nice, ham hock versus ham hock stare down in the middle of the ring. I don't know who the last one will be. I won't be Honky Tonk Man, although, John, I know you'll love that.
Greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time.
Shut up. all right. So, Rish, what do you think of this group? Is this just an easy payday thing? Do you like the idea? And who do you like to win?
I don't like the concept as a whole when it was first announced. If they make a yearly thing out of it, then, it's something that they could try to use year after year and think people will want to live up to winning the Battle Royal, winning a 5-foot trophy and things like that. So it's, at least they tried to justify it with something that seemed somewhat important and significant down the road. Me and Jordan actually talked about this. I think we've kind of had a discourse that I think, most Battle Royals are clunky and weird, especially if you start off with all 30 people in the ring and it kind of feels like ants are all bumping into each other. But, I think the match itself will be pretty good. I think they're going to get about 20 minutes on this match. And they're going to try to make a big deal out of the fact that this is the first winner of this trophy, unless it's the only winner, depending on how important they make it in the future years. But the winner, I would say, is the most predictable one, and that's probably going to be the Big Show. More emulates Andre winning it year after year. He's the biggest guy. He's probably the biggest star in the ring, too. Probably would look out for Sheamus to win, too.
Okay. Johnny, what do you think?
Well, I don't think RVD is going to be in it. I think they're going to save him for Raw. But here's the thing. If Rusev is in it, I'm going to take him. If not, from the guys in there, I'm going with Sheamus.
Okay. JD.
I'm more surprised that Brodus Clay's in it than Brad Maddox, to be honest. I would also like to see Brad Maddox dressed like Dangerous Danny Davis. I think that'd be awesome.
Yes. That'd be tremendous.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I don't know. I'm not a Big Show fan so much, but I almost think he should win it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be pointing to him. But it makes me wonder if Rusev comes in, if he comes in to eliminate Big Show. I don't think he would win. I don't really know. I really do think Big Show's going to win, though.
Okay.
I just think it points to him.
All right. Willie?
I am going to go with Big Show unless Rusev is in it. Then I'm going with Rusev. I was going Big Show pretty strongly originally, and then he came in on Monday and laid everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of pulled me away with the
old school thinking. Yeah,
yeah. I'm completely just stuck thinking in that mindset for years and years and years. So I'll go with Big Show as a dark horse. Maybe Dolph.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. You know who else I like as a because I think he's going to retire soon and end up being an agent? I kind of like Goldust. I don't know why. I have a weird feeling Goldust because gold trophy. And, I think this is it for him. I think he's going to become an agent. He's one of Triple H's guys. I think he's got a job for life. And then I think it's time for Cody to go back to being, singles.
And Cody has eliminated Goldust twice, I think.
Yeah.
In previous Battle Royals.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Let's take a break. You are listening to Episode 6 of Place to Be Nation's Main Event, the WrestleMania Preview Special. I am Scott Criscolo, joined as always, Steve Willey, Andrew Reich, Jordan Duncan, and of course, Johnny Reckless, finally making his Place to Be Nation debut after 3 very long years. And he is not pulling a Kazarni. You have done an awesome job so far. Good to have you on with us. When we come back after the break, we'll dive into the meat potatoes matches and more coming up after this.
Because...
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that?
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point, here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, well, be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net. All right, Place to Be Nation, welcome back to episode number 6 of PTBN's Main Event, our WrestleMania preview special. I am Scott Criscolo, WrestleMania 30 this Sunday at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in Nolens. Joining me, Steve Willey. Andrew Riesch, Jordan Duncan, and sitting in Ben Morse's place, a guy with just as many Marvel comics as Ben has, but doesn't watch Total Divas, finally, the enigmatic Johnny Reckless. And you're more enigmatic than Jeff Hardy without the face paint. Is Jeff Hardy going to be the last guy in the Battle Royal?
No, it's going to be Willow!
Willow!
Willow! Did anybody see any Willow promos at TNA?
No, nobody cares.
Yes. Oh,
they
God.
Are the worst.
Nobody
the
cares.
Dirt worst.
Oh, they're terrible. All right. Let's get into, guys, the real matches of this show. Let's start with one that I've kind of been racking my brain about, who's going to win. And this might be the one match of the four where the winner is probably still in doubt if you're a fan, and that is John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Johnny, what have you thought of the build? You're a Bray guy, and in kayfabe, you're a Cena guy, but on this show, you're not. What have you thought of the build so far?
I think Bray is totally coming into his own. I think his crazy-ass promos have just been spot on. And I really enjoy this promo. I could have dealt without the sheet mask in the bathroom with Cena, but other than that, I like this build.
That's what Jordan's wife says.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Jordan, you need to stop with the sheet mask, buddy. It's freaking her out.
It saved our marriage, actually.
Oh, God. You want to start playing the Air Supply like I do for the Kurt Angle match, yeah. Justin?
Oh, no.
I'm all out of love.
I thought Steve
Are
was
you
saying,
Kurt Angle?
I thought Steve was saying, my wife says, I like this build because, you know, she sees me with my shirt off.
Oh, God. It's like seeing Brodus Clay with his shirt off.
All right. That's the best build, Jordan Duncan.
All right, JD, put your shirt back on. And what have you thought of the build so far?
I think it's awesome. I love Cena with the mask on. I even liked last week when he showed up. I thought it was a little cheesy afterwards, his promo afterwards, but him in the ring with them showing up in the darkness, and it showed the Wyatts a little freaked or confused, which is really what they've done to everyone so far. I thought that was cool. But yeah, I think the John seeing the mask in the mirror is a little reminiscent of Hulk Hogan seeing the Warrior back in Monday Nitro, where literally everyone on Earth could see it except Eric Bischoff, which is why it made no sense. But it's really good because you really think that Cena could lose, which is fairly rare for a Cena match. There's plausibility that he could lose the match, which is tough to do for a John Cena on a big show. So I really have enjoyed it.
Mm. Has Cena, Willie, has Cena kept up with Bray in the promo department in this build? I haven't seen too many of those corny Cena-esque promos where he pretty much no-sells everything and still lives in Fruity Pebble world. We haven't seen that many crappy promos out of him in this build. Do you agree?
I do agree, and I like it's been one of the few longer builds. You know, some of these matches have been kind of thrown together in the last month. This one, you know, started really up at the Royal Rumble and has been slowly building throughout. You know, went through Elimination Chamber when we weren't sure it was going to. I do think he's kind of kept up with the Wyatts. I also, and I think we might have talked about this in the previous episode, kind of like how they've been giving Luke Harper a little bit of a rub too, not just in the ring, but some promo time as well with Bray.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think you may see him kind of break off on his own at some point in the next couple months. Not break off like turn face or anything, but I think they start putting him in his own matches. In fact, how do I word it? I know we've seen him in matches. Kind of do his own thing without them around.
Sure.
Like just kind of do his own thing.
Work independently.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. Riesch, what have you thought of Cena's promos? Do you think he's – I know he's taking it seriously. I'm not saying Cena's not, but – Are we getting away from the corny Fruity Pebblesy promos, and has he really held his end of the bargain in this build?
Well, in the early going, it was a little rough because when he was trying to convince people, oh, guys, Bray Wyatt, he's a scary guy. You know, this isn't like all the others. Like at first, you hear that and you're like, oh, come on, they're not really giving him the credit he deserves. But as the time goes by, he's kind of done this more of like he's questioning himself. because Bray Wyatt is like he is the eater of worlds. He's down with the machine. He's the rebel without a cause, I guess you could say. And so John Cena is kind of questioning, well, can I get past this young guy who's trying to take me down and strip me of my legacy? It's a little bit hammy because John Cena's legacy will always be there, and no matter what happens, John Cena will always wind up ultimately the winner of the feud. But I agree with Jordan that the interesting thing about this match is that Bray Wyatt losing doesn't hurt him, but Bray Wyatt winning is very much possible, and it makes the match more interesting, and it makes the feud more interesting, because you can see a situation where Bray Wyatt actually comes out the winner. I think he's going to get, because he's from New Orleans or from Louisiana, I think he's going to get a huge pop when he does his entrance. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to get a lot of face reaction in the dome. I don't think Cena's going to get completely turned on, because even when Cena did the sheet mask thing and he jumps to Wyatt, he got a huge pop. You know, there was a lot of cheers going on. So I think people are buying into Bray Wyatt as a bad guy, but I think it's more one of those cool bad guy kind of things where they want to cheer him because he's so cool. But when he gets into his character and he starts doing despicable things, they kind of get into their booing stance like the WWE wants them to. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see if John Cena will be able to, you know, fight through that and win, if Hogan comes out and helps, because Hogan's going to be involved somehow, some way. And I'll go with Cena to win.
All right, so you like Cena. John?
As far as my pick, I'm going to go with Wyatt. I think I don't think Cena really gains anything by a win. And, you know, Wyatt, it seems like they're really trying to position Wyatt as a main eventer. And what bigger way to do it than giving him a win over Cena at Mania?
Mm. Okay. Willie?
I think Bray, because it makes sense. I think they can have a rematch on the lines of a Cena-Lesnar rematch at the next pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Have some kind of a big schmoz, hardcore type match, brawl to finish the score. But I think it makes sense for Bray to go over. I would assume that there'd be, you know, Rowan and Harper helping out to do that.
Okay.
But and there's also, you know, a lot of chance for faces to win on most of these matches, and you have to have a heel win somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. JD?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, what Steve just said. I think what helps Bray Wyatt's cause the most is, if you look at all the other matches, the faces almost need to win the other matches, and Cena doesn't need to win. Daniel Bryan needs to win both matches. Undertaker needs to win the match to keep the streak going. Bray Wyatt could win this match, and John Cena could lose, absolutely, and he could make a star by doing so. But at the same time, it seems like we've said this all before about a lot of guys, so I don't know. It's really tough. I just have a hard time. If this was SummerSlam, I would absolutely pick Bray Wyatt. Because it's WrestleMania, I can't pull the trigger, and I still think Cena wins somehow. I just don't know exactly. I just don't want it to be your typical, he takes out all three of them. If he wins, I want him to be destroyed. I don't really know. Okay. I don't see him doing it at WrestleMania.
Okay. Since this is one of the featured matches, does anybody want to do like a match time sort of benchmark on this one or in the top matches?
This one will go, this one will go probably 15, mm-hmm. between 12 and 15. I only see two matches going over 20, and they both involve the same guy. So I think we know what we're talking about. I'm kind of torn too. I think a Bray Wyatt win could finally lead to a Cena heel turn.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, he said in his promo, I have to be a monster in order to kill the monster. But then again, John Cena says a lot of really stupid things.
Ramalama ding dong. Exactly. one match I forgot earlier in the undercard before we move on. Can't forget this. The Shield taking on Kane and the New Age Outlaws, 6-man tag. I don't think they break up here. I think this is their swan song match, my personal opinion. I think they win here. I can't see the Kane and the Outlaws winning. And I don't see anybody like accidentally screwing up or anything either. Like Jericho at the 2001 Survivor Series where like Ambrose fucks up and leaves, but they win anyway. I think they wrestle as a unit here to get a nice big face pop, really push Reigns over. And then I think the next night, I think Raw, you're going to see a lot of expansions of these matches, and then I think you'll start seeing the fracturing and that kind of thing. So I like the Shield. I think they'll stay unified and win this match. Willie, what do you think?
I think so, too. It makes utterly no sense to have Kane and the Outlaws win, especially seeing in six-man matches who the Shield has beaten over the last year. Kane and the Outlaws aren't even close to some of the dream teams have been put together.
I mean, they've beaten Cena, Orton, and Sheamus. I mean, they beat Taker. I mean, you know, Taker could put over the Shield, but Billy Gunn can't. I mean, it's like, you know, it makes no sense. John, what do you think?
Yeah, this one, I mean, I'm not thrilled with this match. This is an example of, I don't think they knew what they were doing with the Shield at Mania till a couple weeks ago. But yeah, it's definitely the Shield. I don't think you'll see the Ambrose heel turn at Mania. You'll probably get it the next night on Raw.
Okay. JD?
I think the Shield will win. And I think, now that I'm thinking about this, I want to go back and change a prediction. I think that Cesaro will win the Andre Battle Royal. I think he'll come in like we were mentioning earlier, because I think it plays into what could happen. You got Daniel Bryan winning two times. You got the Shield winning. You got possibly Bray Wyatt winning. You get a Cesaro win. This could really be a WrestleMania that kind of shows the new guys are taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be a really cool statement to make. I do think the split is coming. I don't think they're long for being a babyface unit. I think it's clear that Seth Rollins will stay a babyface, though, because I think he works better as one. I think Ambrose will be the one to turn. I don't think it'll be at WrestleMania, though. I think they're going to go out with a big win.
Okay. Rish?
The streak ends. Kane's three WrestleMania winning streak will finally end at the hands of the Shield. I just remind myself he's won three in a row. For
Steiner math.
Steiner math, yeah.
By the way, Steiner math says that AJ doesn't have the most odds against her. Whoever wins the Battle Royal has a 1 in 30 chance.
Oh, that is true.
That is true. That's right.
That is true. But
Brad Maddox. Okay.
But the Shield went.
All right. Okay. A match that everybody's a little nervous about in terms of quality, because the Undertaker's had five straight, close to five-star matches, dating back to Shawn at WrestleMania 25. Now, I don't think he's had a – honestly, I don't think Taker's had a crappy match since Mark Henry in 22. His match with Batista was awesome. I like his match with Edge in Orlando. I know a lot of people kind of crap on it, but I don't think that match is that bad.
Who craps on that match?
That match, there's a lot of people who
underrate that match. I'll crap on the guy who craps on that match.
Yeah, I think a lot of people underrate that match.
Edge and the I said it in the listing for the WrestleMania Top 25 that we did for the website that's already up.
PlaceToBeNation.com.
Amazon
link.
Edge Undertaker's one of my favorite WrestleMania matches ever.
Yeah, I agree. And then, of course, two in a row with Shawn, two in a row with Triple H, and then last year with Punk. This year he takes on Brock Lesnar. Now, obviously, the thing that a lot of people are concerned about is Punk, Triple H, and Shawn, as far as those are definites. I don't know before that. They walk through their matches a la Steamboat Savage. They kind of walk through piece by piece, kind of set the match up. Brock's not like that. He's a bull in a china shop. He wants to go in and bludgeon. Taker's not at the bludgeoning part of his career anymore. He's not he likes to throw bombs, but he's not the age to take a lot of bombs. Let's start with the build. Rish, what have you taken from the build for this feud? It's been a lot more streamlined than I think people thought. Taker's been on more. Taker was on a main event, for Christ's sakes. Have you been impressed with the build here? Has it not been enough? What do you think?
The very beginning of it was very, very poorly conceived. The way that they try to pigeonhole Brock into the title match, and then he doesn't get what he wants, so he just wants to up and leave, and then the Undertaker shows. I just thought that was so backward ass, or ass backwards, or whatever you want to call it, because it just didn't really make any sense, and it made Brock look weak. And I thought it kind of made the Undertaker look weak for just kind of showing up like, oh, okay, I want to wrestle Brock Lesnar, but you know, I thought they could have gotten it to that point a better way. I thought that Paul's done a good job of building it, even though it's been a little bit weaker than others. Like, I thought the one with Punk was better. The ones with Triple H were definitely better. I think it's been okay. You know, I'm glad that Brock, you know, given how 50-50 booking works, that Taker's going to win because Brock got the beat down on The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rumor that Vince didn't want Undertaker to be touched or harmed at all going into it. They wanted him to kind of be untouchable going all the way to the WrestleMania event when they finally hook up, but he changed his mind. They had Brock kind of get a little bit of heat back. Mm-hmm. So I think they kind of helped themselves there by giving Brock a little bit of momentum going into it to make you think, well, maybe he might beat him. But, you know, overall, the build's been, I'd give it like a B minus. You know, it could have been much, much better. But for what it's worth, because it's, I mean, it's freaking Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. It's just something you just put him in the ring, you hook him up, and there you go. You got your big main event. You don't really need to build too much up to that.
Right. Okay. Willie, what do you think?
I've hated the build up to this match. I think B minus is kind of high. The only thing I really liked was Undertaker stabbing Brock Lesnar in the hand at the Raw.
That was pretty cool. I have to admit, I enjoyed that too.
That kind of saved the segment actually, from what Andrew's just saying. I'm a little worried, and I've always been worried about the Undertaker these last couple years. Even on Monday, he took the clothesline from Brock Lesnar, and he just kind of. He crumpled. He didn't even.
It was very slow. He was very slow.
He just kind of crumpled downwards. Didn't land. You know, fall back onto his back.
He was a step off for sure.
And I'm worried for his health and his well-being. Punk works very safe. Triple H can work pretty safe. Shawn works pretty well these days. And Brock, you know, he works best when he's tossing people around.
Yeah.
And the guys he's gone against, like Punk and Cena, they can do that. Undertaker can't, and so I hope it turns into a brawl. I hope they throw each other around, and I hope they all both come of it okay, and I hope that we don't have to see Undertaker in another WrestleMania again.
Johnny? It's your guy, Heyman. Do you think he's booking it? Do you think he's...
No, not at all. Here's the thing. I totally hate this build. The problem with it is that to me, it's almost like they're making Brock look weak, and Taker almost comes across more as the heel, not in terms of reaction but it's just, he constantly attacks them and he constantly has the upper hand until this week. I would have just kept them apart and built them through promos if that's what they were going to do. I just think they had Brock get his ass kicked too much. You know, the few attacks Taker had on him. And in terms of, here's the thing, I did hear a rumor, though, that Brock has gone down to work the match out with Taker.
Oh, okay. That's
so
good.
That's a good thing.
Mm. Is Taker running out of opponents? Well, we know the one opponent. Well, we won't mention who that is. I think we all know there's one opponent left.
I think there's two.
I think there's three.
I know. I can hear that.
I'm just trying to outdo you.
It's like the movie Clue.
Yeah.
I think there's three.
All right,
Slater,
we all know
Jinder
the
Mahal, Andrew McIntyre.
How about all three of them next year?
All right. I think it's safe to say we all like Taker to win, so I won't even go around the horn. I think it's safe to say.
Can I say one thing, though?
Yeah, sure, JD.
I just want to reiterate kind of something that Andrew said and Steve said, and I think Steve said something that I think should have been the key. I think they've really got the story wrong. Steve said, I fear for Undertaker's well-being, and that should have been the story all along, because I don't think you can get people to believe that Taker's going to lose, but you can get people to believe that Taker may not ever wrestle again.
I love that idea.
And that's absolutely what it should have been all along.
They did that with Triple H at WrestleMania 27, but I don't think it went over as well. Because
Triple H and him are about the same, you know.
Well,
build.
They did sell the beatdown. They tried to sell the beatdown, but it didn't feel like one. Brock could give a friggin' beatdown, you know.
Yes, he can. Yeah.
John Cena looked like he almost died in that match a couple years ago.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go around the horn. I'll start with you, Willie. Other than Cena, is there anybody else that could go in a slot in the future against Taker that would still sell tickets? Or is he going through everybody and seen as the last one?
Well, you know, I've already said that I don't want to see Undertaker again in a WrestleMania. I'm fine with amending it right here. If he were to ever lose, I don't think he's going to, but he needs to put over someone that is younger than him, not a John Cena. Yep. Were there, and it would have to be like a Roman Reigns type.
I think that's what everybody would say, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but I can't think of anybody besides that.
Johnny, other than Cena, anybody else? Anybody left?
Unless you want to bring Shawn Michaels back, no.
For to complete the Trinity?
That's it.
Yeah. I think Diesel. No. Another underrated Taker match. That was that might have been, I think that was Taker's first good Mania match.
Yeah, that's true.
Was Diesel. Rish, anybody else besides Cena?
You know, I said two, and I'm kind of thinking about it again, and I'm thinking three, but I don't know if you're going to buy into the third one. I'll give you one is obviously Cena. Mm-hmm. That's probably the end game. One of them, I don't think people will buy into it as much because his star is not as bright as the others. But I think a rematch with Batista would not be a bad idea. Like, I think that could actually work. Mm-hmm. But because of the fact that they just have really great chemistry and they do have history. And the third one, and this is what I think might – this is my big, fat swing for the fences for the Raw the next night is
– Oh, I hope it's not what I'm going to say.
Sting challenges The Undertaker to WrestleMania 31.
That is my good. That's not what I was going to say.
It is a swing for the fences, and I might strike out. But
that rumor's
really,
been going on for so long.
It has. But there is rumors. Sting's at WrestleCon. There's a rumor that he is getting a round trip, so he's going right back home after WrestleCon. But let's be honest. Is that even true if they're that close to a deal? You know, and there's always a big fat surprise the night after WrestleMania on Raw.
I think if Sting wasn't the 2-11-11 or whatever the hell that stupid thing was, I don't think we were going to see it. That was the only time I think anybody would have bought it. I think at this point, I mean, look, I watched a year of Impact. Sting is terrible now.
Well, he's out of shape. He was out of shape.
TNA just, in my opinion, I think TNA just like rubbed him into the ground.
Well, and they used him to put over EC3 and Magnus at the end. Yeah. And it didn't work because he couldn't keep up with them, and he actually and you know brought them down. And I love Sting.
The problem with Sting, and it was his problem in EC, and even in WCW, he was too loyal. He wanted to go down with the ship, and he did, and he was very, very gracious in doing so, and he had great matches with tons of different people. But you got to worry if he's outlived his usefulness. But it's like when Hulk Hogan came back to the WWE, you know, he goes to TNA and everyone's like, oh, this is stupid. This is so – why doesn't Hogan just quit? He comes back to the WWE and everybody's a Hulk Hogan fan again. Nice. I feel like if Sting goes to the WWE, that would be such a shot in the arm for him and his fan base that people will completely recommit to him and want to see him wrestle The Undertaker. Mm. The zombies will walk towards Sting once again.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. Did I miss anybody? JD.
I got one. Mm-hmm. This would really benefit if he wins at WrestleMania this year. Just based off the characters, how about Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I mean, I think you could tell a pretty decent story. I don't know what the match would be like, and I don't know that you could – the tough thing with Taker is you can't tell a compelling story where people are going to think he's going to lose. So you just got to figure out a way to tell a good story. And I think
you'd have to do some really good skits.
Yeah, I think like, you could do some cool stuff.
And not like those god-awful Hogan Dungeon of Doom skits.
Yeah.
Been here before.
I saw that on the count. If anybody hasn't seen a countdown, worst blunders is one of the best things you'll ever see on the WWE Network.
That's right. That's why I have that in my head. I feel bad for the Dungeon of Doom, though, because I can never say anything bad about Meng. But I'm sorry, JD, go ahead.
I was going to say, the only thing that I think could ruin it is if it gets a little hokey, like Undertaker-ish, you know, like lightning bolts out of the sky and stuff, because it seems like with Bray Wyatt, there's legitimate creepy, and with Undertaker, there's that cartoonish creepy almost, and I think if they kept it with the Wyatt side of the story, I think it could be really a cool story.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And I think, unless they do, like, you know, Bray Wyatt flies over, you know, Vader's like Castle of Doom or
yeah.
But Chance, but let's be honest, chances Brock Lesnar wins. Like what percent would
zero,
you give?
0.00%.
Yeah, no, it ain't happening.
No. 1%.
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
No, not even one.
All right. Now for the storyline that's selling this show. We begin with the match that apparently is now a try number one contenders match. As Triple H takes on Daniel Bryan, and the winner gets in the title match at the end of the night, the Triple Threat Championship. We'll talk about that match in a minute. A lot of people have stated that this feud has been slow burning, too slow as a matter of fact, that these matches were only booked, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? Should have been booked, you know, ages ago, I don't think it needed to be go that far back. They did hit a wall, though. They did get to a point where they had to do it when they did it, or else it wasn't going to happen anymore. I've thoroughly enjoyed – I think maybe it's just me because I like when the internet hates him because then everybody – you know, I'm the only one and the heat doesn't hurt. I've enjoyed the build. I mean, the build really goes back to August, technically. JD, have you been impressed with Triple H and Stephanie really selling the shit on making Daniel Bryan WrestleMania's ultimate underdog?
Triple H, absolutely. Stephanie, I don't think she really adds anything to it but annoyance, but Triple H has been great. He's been awesome. I loved the end of Monday Night Raw. I legitimately thought Bryan was not going to be on the show. I did not – maybe I'm crazy, but I did not see him coming out of the audience at the end there. That was so awesome when he showed up and stood tall over all three of them, which I think was important to kind of show, like, you know, he could win this triple. But what I thought was so great about it was Triple H, he's doing such a good job with the subtle little character stuff. You know, he stands tall when Brian's not there, and he was just backpedaling, trying desperately to run away from Brian. Yep. So it's weird. They paint him as this underdog, but at the same time, you know that he can beat him. You know, it's an underdog, kind of like a college basketball thing, the underdog that no one wants to fight.
Yep.
I think it's been great.
The great veteran move that Triple H did, and nobody does this but Triple H because he's been around forever. He kept the headset on while Brian's beating the crap out of him.
Yeah,
so that was all great. Of a sudden, here comes the Viper. He's coming. And he's getting the crap kicked out of him like he got eaten by a monster. But Jordan is completely right. Brian was built up out in that promo or in that skit to make him look like he could easily beat the crap out of Triple H if he felt like it.
Right. I concur. Willie, has Stephanie added anything to this at all? Could Triple H have done this on his own?
He definitely could have done it on his own. I thought she was coming around about a week ago, I think it was. It was either a week or two ago on Raw, and then she just completely blew it again last night. And then I want you to talk a little bit more, Scott, when we get back to you about your point you made on your Raw report on PlayStationNation.com, about questioning whether Triple H and Stephanie really feel the way they do about the fans, the way that we're talking. I don't think Stephanie's a good actress. She's never been accused of being a good one.
No. That color commentary during the Batista Orton match was the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, it was not good at all. So I think that the idea was to put her there to take away some of the possible, you know, face pops for Triple H, but there aren't any face pops for Triple H because Daniel Bryan is so over.
Yeah, he is.
That no one is rooting for him. Mm. You know, even like the guys, the people who like the heels aren't rooting for him. So I know I don't think she needs to be there. I don't want to. You know, she can go with the Undertaker.
All right,
who's
John.
Probably also her best friend.
Yes.
Maybe the Wyatts can kidnap her.
Oh, please.
Imagine Andre saying it. Well, who's Stephanie?
That's a better Andre.
Thank you. All right, Johnny. You and I have talked about Triple H since we've known each other almost, it's been almost 7-8 years. That promo package, that video package.
Mm-hmm.
RVD. Jericho, Kurt, Jeff Hardy,
Goldberg.
Goldberg. That's right, Goldberg.
Yep.
Steiner.
Booker. Did you say Booker?
And Booker.
Yep.
I know those things. I know sometimes those things piss you off. I thought it was going to, but then in the end it didn't. But then nothing he ever does pisses me off. So. Were you irked after that? Do you think that was one of Triple H's usual go too far moments, or was that package okay?
No, I don't think he went too far at all. I think he kind of played into this idea that he buries people in just made people hate him more. I think it was very calculated, and I thought it was a brilliant move, to tell you the truth.
How about anybody else? Willie, did the promo piece piss you off? Because remember, everybody got mad when he ripped into Edge, Jericho, and who the fuck else was it? It was three guys: Jericho,
Edge, Jericho, and
RVD. And RVD. Yeah. And everybody got mad at that. This could be construed as the same thing, but maybe not.
I think they purposely picked the people they do. They did, though. Mm-hmm. You know, Booker T retired. Angle most likely not coming back to wrestle for WWE. Maybe come back in a different capacity.
Right.
You know, Steiner not coming back. Goldberg not coming back. You know, Edge, Jericho, RVD are much beloved. And RVD was kind of the only one who was. And then he kind of put them all over after the package was over. They made it seem like it was, you know, Stephanie who was the one who put the package together. I didn't think it was his usual kind of typical burial job. It didn't actually bother me as much as I thought it would as well.
JD?
Well, I think it was intentional because that's what this story is. It's rooted in the backstage rumors and what we believe about Triple H to be from what we read on the internet. And this just played that up. So I thought it was actually pretty smart. And if we got pissed off at it, that's exactly what we're supposed to. Like, how dare they throw him in there, you know? I thought it was pretty awesome. And like Steve said, exactly. And like Steve said, you know, he did say at the end, you know, hey, those are great guys, you know, that offhanded remark. But maybe that's to them to say, you know, I'm not burying you. This is part of the story. I don't know. But I had no problem with it. I think if this was Triple H 2003, then I might have a different response. But I think with this story, that's part of the story.
Right.
So I thought it fit perfect.
Mm. Reesh, did it bug you?
When I first saw it, it did. I really was one of those people who, when he said that about Edge, Van Damme, and Jericho in October, it really bothered me because I felt like that was a real pot shot to those three guys. And those are all great guys. Some of the guys that they picked in the package that they did for WrestleMania on Raw that you're talking about, some of them don't really deserve that much credit. So some of them did not.
That's a good point, actually.
Some of them did not bother me as much as others did. So if you want to lump them all in with guys that Triple H buried on his way to the top, that's fine. But that builds up to something that Triple H had already said in a promo, I think a week earlier, where he was saying that he was reigning in the reality era, which is the idea that we're going to take the, like Jordan said, the backstage politics and the backstage background of everything that you hear in the innuendo and turn it into a storyline and morph it into something that the fans can sink their teeth into. And, you know, I still remember that in that promo, Triple H said something like, when I look into the crowd, I don't see anger and I don't see emotion. I see apathy and I see patheticness. And I remember thinking, you know, he's not talking about Daniel Bryan when he says that, because in real life, he loves Daniel Bryan and wants him to succeed. That's why he's in the position he's in. I think he's talking about the other guys and saying guys like CM Punk and guys like Fandango, I guess, and saying, look, you don't want it as badly as this guy does. And I think the idea of what Stephanie and Triple H are doing is turning the real life situation or the real life interpretation of the fans that Triple H instead of holding people down, and they're turning it into a storyline so that when they keep burying and putting them down, that when Daniel Bryan rises up, it's going to feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the root of it. Make it feel like he truly broke through instead of something that was concocted.
Right. All right. Well, I'll start with you, John. Is there any way Daniel Bryan loses this match?
No. And just to piggyback off that previous point, with that video package, you know what this almost feels like in a way, if they want to build it this way, is that Bryan is going to be the guy that finally puts an end to his politics. Obviously, we know that's not true, but that's a story they may be trying to tell.
Right. Okay. JD, Bryan wins?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Reesh?
Bryan wins, and this is going to be by far the best match of the night,
and it
will be the longest match.
Oh, yeah, this match will easily be at least 25 minutes.
I really do think it'll be good. The only thing I'm worried about is that we turn into the Triple H slowdown, but
yeah,
even if it does, I think Bryan's so good. He's so good that I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think he does that as much anymore as he used to. I agree with you, JD.
We talked a little too much about how Triple H didn't look like he was in the best of shape when he was beating the hell out of Daniel Bryan. But in the last Raw, he was selling like a madman. And yeah, I remember thinking, okay, he's got it. He's back in rhythm. And I think they've got something there.
Right. All right. So for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, too many words. I got to get ready to the world of the heavyweight. Randy Orton, Batista, and as we say, Daniel Bryan. Question number one. I will start with you, Reesh. Does Triple H get himself in this match anyway?
No, I don't see it turning into a Rusev-rific type of thing.
Okay.
I don't think Vince is that stupid. Okay. I know he's been that stupid in previous pay-per-views because you can take risks, but I think even he knows that at WrestleMania, he hasn't really done this. Well, he kind of did it at WrestleMania 27, but that whole show was a piece of crap anyway. But, you know, since WrestleMania 17, he hasn't really fooled with the main event per se. He's kind of left it. He's kind of let the match breathe and let it play itself out. And I think that'll be the situation here. You might see Stephanie come in, but I mean, after that, I don't really see Triple H coming in and interfering or putting himself into the match. I don't think it's going to get that out of control, but no, I think it'll just stay with three guys and it'll get about 15 to 20 minutes and it'll be a solid beginning, middle and end type of match.
Okay. Willie, your thoughts on the match overall?
On the triple threat?
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say that, you know, Triple H is going to try to get involved somehow. And do you guys think there's an outside chance that, you know, Vince comes back to, you know, throw Triple H back? He keeps saying that, Triple H keeps saying that this is all mine.
Yeah, the old man.
Yeah, the old man.
And Stephanie, mine.
Mine. Yeah, Stephanie says, I am the owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he comes back and not necessarily gets involved in the match per se, but prevents, you know, Triple H and Stephanie from getting involved if and when he loses. I hope it doesn't become a massive, you know, Kane and the Outlaws and everyone tries to run in to try to stop and Brian somehow becomes John Cena.
Mm. Okay. JD?
You know, I don't think Triple H will put himself in the match. But the story dictates that he's going to have to try and stop Brian from winning. It would kind of make no sense for him just to lose and then say, okay, well, good luck, you know. So the story they painted is something has to happen. But like Steve says, I don't want it to be like a TNA match where the whole roster's out there. Pile drivers are getting hit every 2 minutes, you know.
like an old WCW pay-per-view.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's where the intrigue is. I still firmly believe that Brian's winning the belt. I just don't know how it's going to happen. I don't even know who he's going to pin, Orton or Batista. And so the intrigue there is what's going to happen, not who's going to win, because I believe 100% that Brian wins. But I'm interested in seeing how, because I do believe that Triple H will come out. I think what we might see is there's a little line, I think it was on SmackDown, with Triple H and The Shield, where he said, you know, we got to sort this out. And Roman Reigns would have said, yeah, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk this out. And I almost wonder if maybe maybe Reigns will do something to try and make him a star too. I don't know. I'm really interested in it though, because I genuinely don't know what they're going to do.
Okay.
So,
John.
Yeah, there's no question Brian's winning it. I do think Triple H will try to get himself involved. Probably Vince, but I've thrown this wild theory out there before, and it's definitely fantasy in one end, but I think it could be one of the coolest moments ever. It's a throwback to WrestleMania 4, and you kind of just have Punk jump out of the crowd and stop Triple H, if they have anything like that even thought of. I think that'd be a cool moment. You don't even have anyone enter the ring, so Bryan does win it on his own.
All right, so we all like Daniel Bryan to walk out of the dome, as I've said on the Raw recaps on PlaceDomination.com. I've been saying pretty much since September that he would be winning the title on this night, and it looks like it's going to happen. All right, last question, and John kind of alluded to it. Willie, do we see Punk?
No. No, we don't.
JD?
No.
I'm sorry, Willie. I didn't get a comment.
You know, I was one who thought for a while he'd be coming back, and I think absolutely not. Not for a long time, if he does at all.
Okay. JD?
No, but I'll tell you what Johnny just said would be really, really cool. But I don't think so.
Okay. Reesh?
No.
You sound so forlorn.
So sad.
So forlorn.
Because it's like Jordan said, it's a great idea, but I just don't see it in the cards.
Johnny, I know you want it, but
Look, it, no, I don't think you're going to see him, but I'll give it a high. I'll give it a 15% chance.
Okay.
You know, if there's any time to have that surprise return, it's Mania.
Yeah. I'd rather see Punk than Vince.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But we'll, let me say this, Scott. If we see what you've been envisioning for the last 6 or 7 months and Brian has both belts up and he chants yes with everybody in the Superdome, where would that rank in moments in WrestleMania?
Oh, I think it would be incredible. I think it would be like Hogan at 3, Warrior at 6, Brett on your on the guy's shoulders.
Yeah,
10.
I think that's what they ought to do with Brian.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think the whole roster – I agree with you 100%, JD. Great point. I think the whole roster should come out and put Daniel Bryan on their shoulders.
Down with the authority. Yeah.
Yep.
And then everybody, the roster's doing the yes move, the whole place. It could get epic.
You don't see a lot of these WrestleMania main events where someone truly breaks the glass ceiling. And that's exactly what this is.
Yeah. They better be prepared, because I think that's what everybody wants to happen. Guys, it has been a pleasure. It's been great talking about this show Sunday night. If you have the network, it's technically only $10. So sign up. Hall of Fame Saturday night. Free 2-hour specials the next few days. Mr. Reich, have fun. Say hi to Ben Steve. Say hi to Chadley.
I'll be stalking Renee Young right alongside him.
Yep. Chad Campbell, I think, going as well. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We will talk about the show, talk about the Raw the night after, and get you ready for Extreme Rules, which I will be at on May 4th at IZOD. Johnny, great debut, man. You were awesome. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, you will be back. You'll be back in the seat again in the future. For Johnny Reckless, Steve Willie, Andrew Reich, Jordan Duncan, I am Scott Crisola. If you're in the main event Sunday, you don't have to shave. Everybody want to do a yes chant? No, because I'll probably overmodulate and break my computer. Enjoy WrestleMania, everyone. You're in the main event.
You might have to shave your chest if you're Triple H.
And don't pop. And create.
No looking at his
or
thighs.
Or wax your thighs. One or the other.
Andrew, enjoy hot for TV. Too hot for TV.
Enjoy WrestleMania, folks. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Have a good time.